so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Shatner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pin-up department, both in your barracks wall and in your hire, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Hey, Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next in our Judy Garland series is her appearance on Command Performance. This one aired on September 29th, 1946. She's joined by Phil Silvers, who is unapologetically Phil Silvers, which I love him for. And of course, Frank Sinatra, because they are clearly joined at the hip in the 40s in their radio appearances. Interestingly enough, they have this big long skit about Frank being involved in some kind of bio of his life, and Phil's going to produce this. And then when I went poking around, seeing if there was any Frank Sinatra news that's current, I actually found in January 2017, Rolling Stone reported that Martin Scorsese was no longer going to pursue a biography film about Frank Sinatra. So that was convenient. And it's kind of interesting, actually. His vision of this movie was going to be to focus on both the highs and lows of what we know of Frank Sinatra's life. He wanted to take it from when he was young and use the music to bridge over into old age and to see how all of that was affecting and intertwining in his life and his musical career. And it just sounded very interesting and complex and deep and dark and all those Scorsese things you come to expect. But what happened was the children of Frank and surviving family members, they're very protective of Frank and his image and his work. They were thrilled to be working with somebody like Scorsese, but not so thrilled to kind of show warts and all of their Frank. So they couldn't really bridge this gap. Apparently this has been in the works for years and they just couldn't really be comfortable with the approach of showing, you know, all the seedier things about Frank that they try to keep off in the sidelines there. So Scorsese says that the reason he's just fascinated with Frank is because of his cultural significance in the arts, but also because he redefined being an Italian American, being involved in civil rights, his political work, the mob. Like, he just had so many aspects of himself that somewhat contradicted how he started and the image that he had when he started. And so he just thought that there was just a really ripe storytelling subject there, and unfortunately we're not gonna get it. Not in that format, but you know, you protect your family, and I think that's something most people would say about Frank, so his children get that honestly. Speaking of children and their famous parents, the Judy in the news that I also found, also from January 2017, was Judy's children actually recently moved her remains from New York to California. Judy's now interred in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which also provides a permanent home for Mickey Rooney, George Harrison, Cecil B. DeMille, so a lot of celebrities there. They're in good company, and the reason this was done was because, you know, Judy died in 1969. Well, it's been, what, 50 years? So there's a lot of people that have unfortunately died, and so there's no more room where she's buried for her three children to be buried with her, and they want to be together as a family when they eventually all pass. And so the decision was made after Liza Minnelli moved to California that they'd, you know, bring Mama Judy out there, and that way there's enough room for everybody and they can just be together as a family, which is really sweet. So Judy had one last cross-country trip in 2017, turned a few heads, made a few headlines. Just interesting dynamic of two very famous people and their very loving children who protect and love them years and years after they're gone. But as for now, everybody's alive and well. Everybody has a much better voice than I. The hoarseness from my dental appointment will hopefully fade by the time the weekend is through for me. But everybody gives a good show here. It's a quick, fun 30 minutes. So from September 1946, this is Phil Silvers, Frank Sinatra, and Judy Garland in Command Performance.
Command Performance, USA. The greatest entertainers in America is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang. This is Harry Von Zell swinging wide the curtains on another Command Performance. Tonight's galaxy of music and chatter is brought to you by J.G., maker of a million happy hearts. Friends, have you tried J.G.? No home should be without one. No picture should be without one. No radio show should be without one. And by J.G., I don't mean junior grade. I mean the one and only Judy Garland!
Got no pearl, still I think I'm a lucky girl. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Got no mansion, got no yacht, still I'm happy with what I got. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Sunshine gives me a lovely day. Moonlight gives me the Milky Way. No checkbooks, got no banks. Still, I'd like to express my thanks. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. And with the sun and the moon, I'm doing all right. Got no diamond, got no pearl. Still, I think I'm a lucky girl. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Oh, I've got no yacht. Still, I'm happy with what I got. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Sunshine gives me such a lovely day because I hate the rain. Moonlight makes all the stars light up along the Milky Way. Twinkle, twinkle, got no checkbooks, got no banks. Still, I'd like to express my thanks. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. How is the sun, morning and moon at night? I'm doing all right.
Harry.
Oh, hi. Say, Judy, you've got a great voice. You know, just, that voice is a wonderful gift.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it comes in such a beautiful package, too.
Oh, Harry, you old flatterer, you.
Oh. No, now, Judy, I'm sincere, really. I've admired you since you were a child star. I've watched you blossom forth into a lovely young woman. Tell me, Judy, did you find it hard growing up?
No. Did you find it hard growing sideways?
Yeah. Well, now, Judy, you're stabbing me in the back.
Yeah, well, can I help it if that's where most of you is?
Well, listen, I wish people would stop making cracks about my weight. I thought that was all behind me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Say, hey, Judy, who is the sharp-looking character coming toward us here?
Who?
Well, I'll clean off my glasses. I'll be glad to see you.
Oh, hello, Judy.
Oh, Phil, what's the matter? You look so tired. You're not your usual snappy self. What's the matter?
Well, I'll tell you, Judy, I saw three big Navy nurses standing on the boulevard, and you know me, big-hearted Silvers, so I gave them a lift to the studio.
Oh, well, why should that make you so tired?
Didn't have a car.
Well, hello, Phil. How are you?
Well, Harry, I didn't know you were going to be here. Well, I can see this is going to be a Von Zell of a program. That's a good one, huh? I'm afraid I made it funny.
Don't worry about it, Phil. I don't think you have.
Yes. Look, Von Zell, why don't you pretend you're a blonde and go chase yourself?
Oh, that'll be fun. But I bet I don't catch me.
Such a fool. Oh, Judy, it's so great seeing you again.
Oh, gosh, Phil, where have you been? Busy at 20th Century Fox?
Oh, haven't you heard, Lass? I'm not with Fox anymore.
Why?
Well, I didn't like the dressing room they gave me. All day long, fellas kept coming in, washing their hands and giving me dimes.
Well, I can see why that would upset you.
Yeah, of course. Paramount, I got quarters. Besides, Judy, I'm completely fed up with those picture people.
Well, anyway, Phil, Hollywood suits me.
It suits you. Look, Judy, you get $10,000 a week. You have a 14-room house, 8 cars, a swimming pool. Judy, girl, you're too easily satisfied. All that will be changed if you'll star in my new production.
Phil, you? You are going to produce a picture?
But Max, Satch. I mean, I like it. Makes me so happy. Not Satch. You're not really a big square.
Well, throw me... No. Well, throw me some details.
Well, it's really so simple. What kind of pictures do you have in Hollywood now? I'll tell you. Fancy costumes, dancing, singing, technicolor gags, laughter. People laughing, laughing, laughing. Judy, the public is sick of being happy. I'm going to change all of that.
Yeah, well, something tells me your picture will change all of that.
You're fighting me. Of course, I don't like to brag. I must look at these things. I don't like to brag. But a while back, just for acting, I got a special award as the saddest thing to hit the screen in 1945.
The saddest thing to hit the screen?
Of course, I was only competing in Class 2.
What was Class 1?
That was the overripe tomato division. Judy, my production will have pathos. Pathos. Which is correct?
It's optional.
My production will have optional. It will have drama, emotion. In my picture, there'll be suffering.
Oh, that's the first time I've heard of an audience participation movie.
But no kidding, Judy. The cast is all set except for the male lead. If you'll do it, he'll do it.
Well, who do you want for the male lead?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll let you meet the boy right now. He's really a nice guy and one of the greatest singers of our day. Frank Sinatra.
The girl I marry will have to be as soft and as pink as a nursery. The girl I call my own will wear satin and laces and smell. Her nails will be polished, and in her hair she'll wear a gardenia, and I'll be there instead of flitting. I'll be sitting next to her. She'll purr like a kitten. A doll I can carry, the girl that I marry must be. She'll wear Bernardino, and I'll be there instead of flipping. I'll be sitting next to her, and she'll purr like a kitten. A doll I can carry, the girl that I marry must be.
Having relatives in the audience. Ah, Frank. That was swell, wonderful, terrific. That was great, Frank, old pal.
Judy, who is this Crumb?
Crumb? Frank. Friend. Pal. We're buddies. I'm Phil Silvers. Didn't you see me in your last picture?
Nope.
You didn't? That's funny. I sat right in the front row and you looked right at me. Silvers. Remember Silvers?
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Didn't I see you with Paramount?
That's me.
Sure, you handed me a towel and I gave you two bits.
All right, enough of that. Frankie, boy, I want to talk to you.
Mr. Silver, did you have an appointment?
Why, yes, I've got an appointment.
Fine, now why don't you run off and keep it?
Now look here, Sinatra, I'm a producer now and I'm going to make a motion picture epic.
Don't bother me.
It's authentic. It's exciting.
Don't bother me.
You're going to be the star.
Okay, bother me. Yeah, what's it all about?
Frank, you'll love it. It's the story of you, your life. How you live.
Now, Phil...
How you live? I lost my head for a minute.
Now, Phil, who on earth would want to know how I live?
Well, there's those six guys from the Mayo Clinic.
Phil, listen. Believe me, I don't want to do my life story now. Let's wait till I'm old and shriveled up.
Oh, don't. Ah, don't wait. Do it now while you're young and shriveled up.
Careful, buddy. Watch that, kid. Next time I'm at Paramount, I'll give you a dime.
Yeah, well, listen, boy. You better play ball with me or I'll have you blacklisted at every oxygen tent in town.
No, not that. No, please.
Now, listen to reason. This deal will make you big. You'll be popular. You'll be an idol. You may get a radio program of your own.
I have a radio program.
With listeners? Look, kid, I'll sell you. Everybody will know you. When this picture is shown, we'll have banners all over the streets with your picture. We'll sell little images of you made of ice cream. Your fans will eat it up.
I do hope I look peachy in pistachio.
Well, everybody will know you. Why, after this picture hits the theaters, you'll be mobbed when people see you on the street.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, well, excuse me, boys. We have another guest to take care of. Your business can wait. We've had a flock of letters asking for a brilliant young pianist now arranging and composing at MGM, currently working with a guy named Sinatra. Conducting, making records, and, well, he's an all-round genius. Fellas, here he is, Andre Previn.
Judy. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Andre.
Hey, how you been?
Whose line was that?
Would you stay off my lines, buddy?
Hi, Andre. How you been? Glad to see you.
Hey, Frank. Who's the Crumb?
Crumb. Everybody knows me. No, everybody knows me. We ought to rehearse these things. Well, I'm famous. I've been at all the studios. You must know me.
Oh, yeah. Say, I want my quarterback. That towel had a hole in it.
How do you like it? This kid is a teenage Oscar Levant.
Oh, well, never mind him, Andre. Go on and play.
Oh.
Isn't that guy great?
He sure is, but Frank, this is your last chance. Are you going to appear in my picture?
Well, I don't know, Phil. It's still pretty vague. Who's financing this picture?
Can't tell you, Frank. He wishes to remain anonymous. He's a big financial wizard. It's just that he insists on being a silent partner.
Won't talk, huh?
No, he just... Excuse me, Frank. I'll get that. Hello.
Oh, hello, Chief.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I will, sir. Yes. I'll do that. First thing in the morning. I'll do that, too. Yes, Chief. Definitely. Good night, Chief.
Who was that?
My silent partner. Well, Frank, now, what do you say?
Well, I guess I'm a fool, but I'll take a chance. Why don't we start shooting?
Well, it just so happens that I have some 20 or 30 copies of the script with me. Mm-hmm. I'll pass them out immediately. Okay, Bonzel, suppose you start off. Lights, camera, action!
20th Century Silvers presents... Frank Sinatra. This picture was produced by Phil Silvers. From an original story by Phil Silvers. From an original idea by Phil Silvers. Adapted for the screen by Phil Silvers. With Yuka Salamunic.
Yuka Salamunic? How did he get in here?
He owns the camera. You realize, Julie, that I don't like to have my name mentioned so many times, but that's how things have to be. You know how those publicity directors are.
Well, Phil, who is your publicity man?
Phil Silver. But shall we continue the drama, Harry?
Okay. Friends, in the year 1919, little Frankie was born.
Wait a minute. I wasn't born in 1919. I was born in 1917. I'm 2 years old already.
All right, so happy birthday. Get out of the show.
At any rate, little Frankie was born.
Want a bet?
What it says here. Little Frankie was born, and so we capture the dramatic moment when Papa gets his first glimpse of little Frankie.
Mr. Sinatra, here is your baby boy.
Where? Oh. little boy, may I hold him?
Of course, here.
Oh, look at him, my son. Look at those sharp, intelligent features. He looks just like me, can I?
Yes. Oh, but Mr. Sinatra, you're holding him upside down.
Two years pass. Frank Sinatra is now six.
Six? Oh, now, wait a minute, fellas. How's that possible?
You led a fast life.
You may hear from my lawyer in the morning, kid.
It is now 1923, and little Frankie is ready for his first day of school. The lovable elder Sinatra calls him in.
Frankie, my boy. What is it, lovable elder Sinatra?
I want you to apply yourself when you get to school. Remember, you can get a little out of school, or you can get a lot out of it.
I don't think I'm going to get a lot out of it, Daddy.
Why not?
I got such small pockets.
Ah, my son, you'll enjoy school. You like the classes, and you'll like your teacher.
I will, Daddy. How's she built?
Well, you see that brick schoolhouse? Right off right there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, she's standing on the steps. Oh, I see what they want. Ah, son. I hate to see you go off to school and leave me. It's going to be mighty lonesome here without you cutting up, without your laughing little face and your cute little sense of humor. Ah, it's going to be mighty lonely here, son.
Well, if it's going to be that lonely, Daddy, you go to school and I'll stay home.
Little Frankie toddled off to kindergarten, full of energy and ambition, his little beanie swelling with pride. When just outside the building, he heard...
Hello, little boy. I'm Judy.
I'm Frank. Gosh, you're a girl.
How did you know?
You're wearing a pink slip. Has school started yet?
No. Hey, Frankie, let's make mud pies.
No, I ain't hungry.
All right, let's play post office.
Nah, that's a sissy game. Let's play hopscotch.
Hopscotch? That's a sissy game.
Not with real scotch, kid.
The weeks that followed were happy ones for Frankie and Judy. They threw spitballs at each other. Frankie would dip Judy's pigtails in the inkwell, and then Judy would dip Frank in the inkwell.
I can make it, too.
Everything was fine until one day Mr. Sinatra said,
Son, your marks in school are very bad. I can't understand it. Every morning you seem to know your lessons all right, but when you come home at night, you don't know a thing. I've got a son in the morning and a goon at night. Son, I see that things are coming to a head. And, son, I've got to talk to you like a father.
Yeah, Pop?
Why don't you run away from home?
I don't know what you mean, Dad.
Well, you spend 3 days in kindergarten. Too much education is a dangerous thing. Now you must go out into the world, and son, remember this. You will meet unscrupulous men. Men who will offer you a chance to make lots of easy money.
What'll I do, Dad?
Grab it, Schmo.
And so, with his suitcase in one hand and a shoebox full of hard-boiled eggs in the other, little Frankie staggers down the street to bid farewell to his childhood sweetheart, Judy.
Hello, Judy, my childhood sweetheart. I came to say goodbye. I may be gone for 10 years or 20 or maybe even 30 years.
So long.
Well, don't go out and get drunk about it, kid.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm running away to stroll some far off shore where bodies lie on the sand with the sun beating down on them.
You're going to join the fire, ain't you?
No, I'm going to Coney Island.
Well, if you must go, Frank, at least kiss me goodbye.
Kiss? What's that?
Well, here, I'll show you. Come closer.
Like this?
Yes. Now put your face up to mine.
Like this?
Yes. Now pucker your lips.
Wait a minute, I can't read the next line. Like this?
Yes. Now, just do what comes naturally. Oh, no, Frank, I mean this.
That's all, brother. I'll see you. How do you like that? Now that I'm going away, she teaches me how to kiss. Well, Judy, the time has come for me to go.
Don't move, darling. I want to remember you just the way you are, with your hair glinting in the sun. Please don't move. Your beautiful brown hair. Don't move. And your eyes as blue as a cloudless sky. Don't move. I want to remember you just as you are, with your priceless ruby red lips. Ah, you move!
And so little Frankie went bravely forth into the cold, cruel world. He went through years of adversity, sorrow, days and nights of soul-torturing work. He had tears, heartaches, frustrations, degradations. But in spite of all this, he sometimes felt discouraged. One day he was feeling particularly run down. He'd just been hit by a truck. When suddenly he met the man who changed his life. The man who made him a great singer. The man who made him what he is today. That wonderful, lovable, talented, brilliant chap. One of the screen's immortals. Producer of this great picture, which was also directed by him, Phil Silvers. We now look in on the Phil Silvers vocal studio. Frank is having his first lesson, and Maestro Silvers says...
No, no, boy, try it again. Sinatra, sing the scale going up.
Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-da.
Uh-huh, now sing it going down. Well, how did I do?
Well, the voice is good, but you got a lousy sense of direction.
Now, I said pear-shaped tones, boy. Pear-shaped tones.
Well, what did I give you?
Avocados.
Your language. Now, Phil, seriously, who do you think you're talking to? You know that if I made a picture like this, I'd be ruined? My picture career would be blasted. Blasted. My records wouldn't sell. Nobody listen to my radio program. I'd be ruined.
But thanks.
I won't do the picture.
Okay, but my silent partner won't like it.
Yeah? Well, wise guy, just who is the silent partner of yours?
Kid by the name of Bing Crosby.
Gang, that's about all for tonight. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it, Frank?
I'll say it was, Judy. Have you told the guys to keep sending in all those letters telling us who they want to hear?
No, Frank, you tell them.
I'll tell them. Fellas, keep those letters coming in and we'll keep the shows coming your way. Just tell the mailman that Phil Silver sent you and I firstly told you...
Back to your cage, you freak.
You mutter again. Your mother wears army shoes.
Thanks, gang. To all of you from all of us and good night.
Good night, fellas.
Judy Garland may be seen in the MGM production Ziegfeld Follies. Frank Sinatra and Andre Previn may be seen soon in the MGM picture It Happened in Brooklyn. And Phil Silvers may be seen at any of the studios handing out towels.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.